Here we go. Dark Horse Live episode 95.
Six.
Sorry. I fuck this up every week. Welcome to the show. Sorry, we are discombobulated if you can't tell. But we're back. Or I'm back. I went to Hawaii for my birthday bash. I'm fucking old now. Officially turned old. We don't really have to talk about it too much. Other than I'm old.
Fuck you.
But Hawaii was really chill. I want to shout out Super Kwai. Super Kwai was nice and invited me up and smoked a bunch of good herb with me and sent me home with gifts, Hawaii style. And I don't know, it was really chill. And I've talked to him before a couple of times, but I never met him in person. And he showed me that aloha spirit. And it was cool to go up and chill with, Super Kwai. So thank you, Super Kwai. What else is going on? Birthday Bash. Birthday Bash was a hit, man. It was a success. Some people are mad because they didn't get what they wanted because it got stolen out of their shopping cart because we only had two or three packs of stuff. And the Dark Horse doesn't have a cart reserve system. So some people are mad. No matter what we do, we always make people mad, it seems like. But I want to say thank you to everyone who supported the birthday drop. And hopefully you got some super sweet deals. That promotion is totally over now. It was like a 40-hour promotion. But thanks, everybody. We have a lot of orders. So if you ordered, I literally landed just a couple, hours ago. It was 12 hours ago, 24 hours ago, yesterday morning. But as you can tell, I'm trying to catch up at work for the podcast, do interviews. So, yeah, I've been running around a little bit crazy right now. We got clones transplant. So trying to fix the garden. You can't just go on vacation and come back and, everything's good. You got to fix everything and, water everything and... You know that super load that you have when you come back from vacation where it's just like, oh shit, now you've got to fucking handle all kinds of shit to catch up to be on pace again. That's what I've been dealing with. But with that said, I'm making these excuses because I won't be able to get your packages immediately. They're all coming, let's say, I should have them done by Monday. I'll try to get them out by Friday, but by Monday I should be able to get them all out.
Hopefully.
I think I can reasonably give that date.
Give yourself more time just so you know if you don't make it, then they can't be pissed off.
Yeah, putting myself under a deadline. I shouldn't have even done that in the first place. But anyway, I think I'll get them out to you as soon as I possibly can. I'm well rested, relaxed, and ready to go back to work. Kind of. I wish I was still on the island. But with that said, tonight on the program, WeeWoo stopped by in studio, which I'm stoked about. And we actually have BK Roller in studio tonight. Caesar's here as always, but... Let's just go to free shit right away and see if I can do this. It's free!
I know today's keyword.
There you go. You can back your camera up somehow. Super zoom. I got you. All right. BK is in charge of free shit this week. Give this pack away. I do this too much. Let's see how your giveaway skills are.
What are we giving away today?
That's in your hand.
Oh, Reality Stone. All right.
I need way more pizzazz out of you already.
Way more pizzazz.
It's free.
It's free.
Now over
it's
to free BK and Roller.
It's for you.
So the code where we're going to shout out this movie, right? Let me drop this on the screen.
Yeah.
I think this will work.
We already got the keyword?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say fossil or some shit.
Fossil.
You already did that last week.
No, I said dinosaur.
Yeah. There you go. This week's special. BK, tell them what's up with this and how to win. I guess the subject line is going to be
Death Count.
But you tell them what Death Count is.
Yeah, time waits for no one. This is a film, a longtime personal friend of mine, Jamal. It's his project. It's, I believe, his first big project out there. And so I definitely want to give him a shout out. And, try to throw him some support. You guys go see this movie. It's made by independent producer, and he's got a good cast, so go check it out.
It's a horror movie, right? You gotta the slasher horror shit. We don't know anything, and then it's a horror movie.
Yeah, it's
An indie.
It's definitely horror based.
Do you know if it's in theaters or is it online somewhere?
It's coming July 19th in theaters.
So you look it up, Death Count. If you want to win these seeds, in the subject line, the email at the bottom of your screen, darkhorsegeneticslive@gmail.com, you write the word Death Count. And what number, Bill?
What number? 420.
Fuck, that's way too many. Okay. I don't want to. I need to have to count 420.
Okay, how about 19 since it comes out on July
19th? That's way too little. Give me like somewhere between 75 and 150.
All right, 136.
136 is the number officially. 136 person to write death count in the subject line to darkhorsegeneticslive@gmail.com will win a pack of, what was it?
Reality Stone.
Reality Stone. There you go. Good luck, everybody. All right, let's get straight to the guests, I suppose. All right, everybody, let's go. Caesar and I didn't load up Strain of the Week this week, so forgive us for no Strain of the Week.
It's just always Spritzer if
it's
I don't
always
have
Spritzer. All right, let's go to Wee Woo. All right, everybody, we are here with Wee Woo in studio. Welcome to Colorado, man. Thanks for coming out. So we've had you on the show once before. I'm not sure the exact episode number off the top of my head, but if you want to more of a history or synopsis of one Wee Woo, I guess go watch that episode. Today we're just going to chop it up and shoot the shit a little bit. But I guess I wanted to start with you're a Michigan guy.
Right.
Correct? So yeah. Give us the rundown on what the hell's going on in Michigan, I guess homegrown-wise, breeding-wise, like industry-wise, because I'm hearing horror stories that the industry shit kind of like Colorado where the pound price fell apart. And
I use Colorado as an example for
pull that just a little bit closer, talk straight in the center of that
for yeah. I use Colorado for example of what's happening in Michigan and what's going to happen and the stages that it's currently in, and it's a shit show and people are dropping left and right currently, and you know there's a few people that are going to survive and a lot of people are still going to drop. And I've toured a few places and I've met a few owners that aren't from cannabis, and I see the same thing over and over again. You have people that have no experience, never watered a shrub in their backyard, let alone grown cannabis or could name anything. So, and you know, how do you talk to people about it that
there's no passion in the first place?
There's no passion. Usually they talk shit about caregivers because they're failing themselves, so they need a target to blame. So I just try to stay out of that and do my thing.
Sure. I heard rumors that they're trying to repeal like home growing or caregiving laws. What's the update on that? Sorry, microphone just totally died on you.
Sweet. So, so there's this lady, this politician, Dana Nessel, in the state of Michigan, who swears that she'll never let caregivers go away. So, I can't sit around and follow all that shit, because if you're going to sit around and follow all the negative that's going on right now to a point, it's not going to make you better at anything we're going to do. It's going to make you negative. So you just have to kind of pick your niche right now. Be supportive of your friends and like find the people that are surviving. They've been doing it a long time. They understand the plant. And if you can hang around for a while.
But is there active like legislation right now to basically kick out all home grows, or what am I? Like, that's kind of the rumor I was hearing. Is it basically a fight from corporate cannabis to kick out all homegrown cannabis? Would you say that's fair?
So there's a coalition. You don't buy anything from Skymint and a bunch of other companies that are just
supporting this bullshit.
Anti caregiver and
what's their name?
Skymint.
Like MENT.
They pay everybody like $12 an hour to grow their cannabis and. It's nothing I'd smoke.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that going on. And why grow good weed when you can just hire a lobbyist and get rid of your competition?
Typically, I know this is the way in Colorado, but when people lobby for fucked up bills, you can go into the legislature and see who's on what side of the lobby, see where the money's coming from and what stores are supporting said fucked up bills. So if you're not about this shit, Michigan, I mean, you guys would probably, my advice to you would be go in to look at who's, you know, which lobbyists and are funded by which groups and who's supporting this shit. And I've seen it a little bit out there in the Instagram world where people are saying, correct, these are the group of fucked up people in Michigan that are all about this game. Yes. You know what I mean? So,
and I can tell you how to find those. If you go into, you go on Instagram and you go into my account, I follow somebody, his last name's Berg, B-E-R-G. You can see all the companies you do not want to support in the state.
There you go.
Simple as that.
Do you find it to be, what's the word? Is it going to be successful, do you think? Or what is like the, where are we sitting at this moment? Is the, they're putting together bills that keep getting shot down. They're just a force that really can't make it happen at this moment. But,
well, the problem the problem that's going on is, so they're paying lobbyists, they have a war chest. They've also dropped the price of their cannabis, so you can buy an ounce of weed for $60 in a store. So they're hitting the caregiver on multi-levels. You know, you could even probably find a private plane from California or Mexico flying into the state with products that hits the market, hits the black market, and extract prices have dropped 70% in the last year.
Yeah.
Cannabis prices have dropped about 65%. And here's the real problem with it all, besides that mic that keeps dropping. Here's the main problem, and this affects all of us. These caregivers that are surviving or gone are either trying to find a Skittles cut or a Runtz cut versus they used to buy seeds. They didn't used to have to be pigeonholed to like five bottleneck strains. They could do the exploring. They could buy Dark Horse seeds. They could buy Scapegoat seeds.
Do pheno hunts.
Pheno hunts, which is what all these new strains come from.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Sure.
I've gone to a couple of places out here yesterday, and I'm really excited about how I see Lemon G and Chem 91, and I see some Landrace in there. I don't just see cookie strains.
Gelato everything.
Gelato does Skittles back cross to...
Yeah.
Moonbow.
We have a bit more variety. I think people out here are starting to figure out that you can't just all run the same cuts, mm-hmm. but at the same time, we suffer from that same ailment of dipshit owner that just doesn't have any passion for cannabis. And there used to be a CFO or a fucking siting guy or an electrician or some shit. And it's like, they're still here for the green rush. And I don't know. And there's a new phase. Maybe you guys have this in Michigan where we allowed out-of-state capital to come in. So now... a lot of companies went public, and sure. these public companies now are like hugely funded, like war chest funded, yeah. where they come in and they build, think of like a super Walmart or airplane hangar, and they build 20 of them in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, all right, now you have, we can produce our cannabis for, you know, $60 a pound, and they produce 1,000 every 2 weeks, and then it's fucking up the market a little bit because they put out pre-rolls for a penny. When everyone else, is, you know, pre-roll game was
exactly
$10 or something exactly. before.
Who's going after that? It's like, we know that.
Well, that's
when you upscale, that the quality never goes up with the size. So it's like, what market are you like promoting to?
That's the new trend, model. The new owner, the new model. And that's why I say, when you go to dispensaries lately, you're seeing a lot of shit weed. You're not really seeing that pheno hunt. This is special from our store. And like, this is why we're dank. Check us out. We're unique because we're this. Yes. You know what I mean? We've linked up with corporate America, corporate cannabis. We have stocks and we have to fucking hit our quarterly revenues. So therefore, we will do whatever we need to do to produce cannabis as units, bring the price down, and kind of manipulate the market to fuck over the smaller guy.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it happens here. I'm wondering, do you have the mega grows there?
Okay, so first off, just to give you a perspective on that, they finally licensed somebody to the city of Detroit. Do you know where that company's from? Oregon.
Yeah, it's not local.
I mean, what does that tell you? Follow the money trail.
Sure.
You think they just like those people better?
These merit-based applications.
It's all bullshit.
It's merit-based applications is another word for fucked up bullshit.
Right.
Because basically, and I was even early. I was in Colorado. We were one of the first dispensaries in America.
Right.
And I was early as fuck. But what I see happening is other states going, fuck, we really dropped the ball on that weed shit. We should have a weed program.
Right.
We need to get a weed program. Well, let's talk to Colorado. They've been there doing it forever. California. And then instantly that turns into, let's hire Colorado companies or Colorado dipshits, basically people who failed, now are fucking consultants, to go out and fucking help us organize and run our state, set up our shit. And it's like, man, you're kind of getting the Colorado rejects or basing it off stupid shit. And I don't know. It frustrates me to see everyone come to Colorado and California first, even though I should probably be happy about that. But it's like everyone comes here first and be like, what's your model? It's like, our model's deeply fucking flawed.
Well, they figure out how to fail here first.
I'll be the first one to say it. Like, it's flawed, dude. We have fucking crazy taxes. Like, it's, you know, everyone looks at it like, well, let's do what they're doing. It's like, dude, one here is making crazy money. There's not crazy successful businesses. We got
There's other states that, like New York, they pretty much don't want to take on like California's business model because they see 44% tax doesn't make anybody money.
Sense.
And all
that. So Cali really fucked themselves when they just released. So a lot of people looked at that and like, not doing it.
It's because they thought that they grew the best weed in the world and everybody wanted to be greedy and put their money.
Nobody paid attention though, because Washington overproduced licenses, gave everyone a 502 or whatever they call it. So now there's a million grows in Washington and pounds for $60. Then you look at somewhere like Oklahoma where there's like, all right, no regulation. I think they just put a cap out, but it's like no regulation on licenses. So
they're still getting like $3,000 a pound though.
It's going to fall apart because they didn't regulate their market tight enough. But at the same time, I'm not one for, I'm a free market guy where it's like, let the best fucking survive. Amen. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I was talking to Heavily Clouded about the Michigan market and what's going on in the, on the rec side. And you have this, these people trying to pass this testing, these microbial testings of this backboard that was created by nobody that's ever shot a basketball, so to speak.
Right.
So what's happening is you have all these companies that say they got into this and they have a $3 million war chest. Mm-hmm. And they did their numbers. They did their spreadsheets.
Off of 2020 numbers?
Yeah, whatever. Off their pie in the sky. And then they don't have a network and they're just a grow. They don't extract. Then they fail these tests and they're selling these pounds for $200 biomass to companies that are making hot dog water extracts out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And profiting off them while they're losing. And that small mom and pop people who were caregivers most of the time, it's not the major company that's got $100 million
sure.
in four states. And
right.
What I don't understand is...
So like, my question to you is, in the early ages of Colorado, like say year 1.5, were you experiencing that kind of shit? Nobody could pass the testing?
No.
All the people are now nothing.
Year
like
1.5, we had no fucking rules at all.
Was, yeah, you're spraying anything.
Year 1.5, yeah, people were smoking Eagle 20 and shit. So yeah. It was a relief to see some testing regulation come.
Right.
But it's funny you brought up testing mm-hmm. and microbials and shit because it's a lot of times it's a crapshoot. I've already said it on this program. We've had rooms that everything tests totally clean and then they'll send back one strain. It's like 50,000 CFUs and totally fucking hot. And you're like, it's not fucking possible, dude. You had dirty plates at your lab. There's no fucking way. Then we'll retest the same strain and it'll come out fucking clean and good. And it's like, so what, the one nugget was totally dirty while the rest of it wasn't? And you're going to test a nugget of this size for 35 pounds of weed bullshit. Or some shit? You know what I mean?
They just recently changed that. It's like, if you have a bigger room, then you got to send it a bigger sample size. A
little bit, yeah. But they with that change, starting in July, we now have another. I should have done my research for us to talk about this, but we have another test along the microbial lines. I can't remember the spore species or bacteria, but there's another test, and they told us, hey, just be ready. Start doing some R&D testing now because we expect 30% failure for this. And it's going to be, this test is really complex, so it's going to take us 3 to 5 days and cost an additional $130 per test.
Why are we doing this?
We're already paying $230 per test sample. You know what I mean? It cost me $300 a pound to produce. I pay $230 on the testing, and now you're going to add an additional $130 on top of 27% tax or whatever the fuck. Right. It's just like,
it doesn't
dude, we're getting regulated out of business. In every election cycle, there's more shit they add on. So it's just like, dude, we can't keep up if you're just going to keep tacking on shit on shit on shit.
Well, think of it this way. This is like, you know, I'm old school. I've been doing this a long ass time, and I just love weed that smells good. I want to smoke it when it's 17 days cured. So if...
You better grow your own.
You're right.
If you're, you know, if you have a state-of-the-art facility like Michigrown or something in Michigan is a good example, and... You're growing, let's say you're growing $15 million worth of weed a year, and you have a guy making $65,000 as your head grower.
Yep.
Why would that guy give a fuck about how good your weed is? And if your bud tender's making $12 an hour and she's cute or she's your nephew's niece's daughter or whatever, and she's working for you, and those two people in the industry, I feel like the most miscalculated their value because... That's who's growing your revenue or breaking your revenue, and it's the person who's presenting it. And I see that I see it fail over and over.
Sure. It's the same people that start businesses that don't have a passion for it, but they think they can go hire cheap.
I don't know how you get through to those people that are used to pounding boards into the ground or...
Right.
I mean, it's a learning curve, and it's painful.
I can't speak to it too much because I only look at it from the owner-operator side. I've always only been an owner-operator in everything I've ever done,
exactly.
So it's like,
smart.
Like I do the work alongside the guys a lot of the times, and like to. I'm in it.
Yeah.
But to start a business and then look at it like I'm gonna hire X and I'm gonna get B and A, B and C together, and I'm gonna be able to make $15 million, but I'm only gonna pay my salaries or my overhead out to be $120,000 or $200,000 a year, but $500,000 a year, and you're $15 million. So you're not even you should be around 20, 30, 40% of your income should be going back into your employee base and shit. And you're never going to see that in this industry at the moment. But
so let's say you're a successful businessman and you enter, you're 60 and you got $20 million in your board. So you buy a $10 million building, state of the art, and you decide you're going to grow weed because, you know, it sounds fun. You know, somebody that had cancer and it helped them or some shit, and you know absolutely nothing else about it. What point is your breaking point? How much money are you going to lose, Jason, before you realize your program's fucked and you know nothing about your doing? But are you going to be bullheaded, or are you going to listen to somebody like you or Bill or somebody who's a caregiver who's supposedly the enemy?
These people don't listen. They have the money, so they feel like they could do whatever they want, and whatever they
do it depends how deep your pockets are.
Okay, so let's say you have $20 million, you got a $10 million building. And in your first 16 months, you lost $3.6 million.
Right.
How fucking long are you going to do that for?
Yeah, look at the market and be like, is everyone else struggling, about to go out of business? And then we'll like kingpin the whole fucking thing.
Or you're going to just get scooped up for half of what you paid for the building. You're going to lose everything else.
Right.
Well, the common model seems to be that when they get to that point, even though they're bullheaded, they're definitely going to seek a professional old school grower to help bail them out.
Yeah.
But instead of creating a symbiotic relationship to where it's mutually beneficial for both that knowledgeable grower and the owner, they just screw over the grower, take his SOPs,
take his cuts.
You know? I mean,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, this is kind of wildly like out of left field, but I was watching this documentary on Ford Motor Company and how he moved into the Amazon rainforest and built Fordtopia or whatever it was. He tried to make his own city in the middle of the Amazon with his own ideals and own rules and try to impress upon all these people, like, this is how you live the American lifestyle and everything else. But when they plant, this is for to make tires so they could produce their own rubber and do their own tire thing. So he wanted, Ford was, you know, the assembly line man. He wanted to do everything.
Yeah,
so he went and made his own city on the Amazon. But they didn't know how to fucking cultivate. So they put these rubber trees way too close to each other. And then the pest and the disease spread across all of them. You had crop failure after crop failure after crop failure.
Love it.
But being a billion-dollar company, they let it ride for something like 12 fucking years, failing year after year after year, never hiring just the right people to come in and be like, space the trees out more, dude. Use this pesticide. Know what the fuck you're doing. You know what I mean? So it was just like...
So what is it? Is it greed? Is it ignorance? Is it...
Certain amount of money...
I you know, I was talking to my friend Scott here about it today, and my other friend Scott Dude, and we were, you know, they're telling me, they came to the conclusion, it's ego. It's all freaking ego. They're successful businessmen. You know, they're not usually some privileged kid that has a vault from his family. It's usually somebody that's bored, who's got a lot of money.
Yep.
And they're just, they're successful, and they can't accept the fact that they might need help.
We'll say this much. Rich guys that have invested in cannabis love to sit around and talk about the cannabis companies that they've invested in. You know what I mean?
Like, well, I love watching like suits and people that are marketing and branding that have never been any time with the plant giving each other awards. I mean, that is the epitome of where we're at this point.
It's like people getting hired off of Indeed and LinkedIn and all that stuff.
And the thing that they miss is like, they're looking for a grower for their new dream, their nirvana that they think is like this last gold rush, but they're only going to pay him $65,000. They want to grow $15 million. Well, listen, assholes, caregivers can grow 72 plants in Michigan, and if you're not an idiot, for the last 10 years you were making a lot more than $65,000 a year with no taxes.
Right.
Not me, because I can make seeds. It's a passion. I'm talking about monocroppers.
Yeah.
Right.
Why would they want to go run your bullshit you don't understand?
Right. It's generationally, too.
And have that headache.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they get what they pay for.
I agree with that completely.
And that's how it should be when these shops want to only offer you, they want to lowball you. It's like, I'll give you what you're trying to offer me, but if you want the best quality stuff, don't expect to get it at the price that you're offering. And a lot of these people don't understand that, because just because a bunch of different pounds sold for the same price, that everything else deserves to be the same price. Same thing with genetics. Right. So, well, all genetics should be $10 a clone.
Yeah.
Right. No, the fucking shit.
Well, you know, the main town that I live near wants to have the most dispensaries and the most facilities in the state. And you know what the average median income is there? $29,000 a year.
40 grand. Yeah, 29.
Who's gonna buy all this shit?
And they want to sell $50.
Send it all to Detroit, where the median income's lower than that.
And that's one thing that I think these states never look at when they start up regulation is like, how does it work as a whole, like, symbiotic circle. Right. You can't just give out a million grow licenses or a million dispensary licenses and be like, oh, we'll sort it out and we'll balance it out along the way based on what the customers want. No. It's like, no, you've literally put people in horrible situations when you allow super overproduction. And all of a sudden now it's like...
You guys learned that?
Yeah.
You went through the growing pains of that?
So.
But if you're not good at what you're doing, you shouldn't even get in the first place. So that's why it's like, I feel for the farmer that is a real cannabis farmer that struggles because he's mom and pop and he's low income and I feel for that.
Yeah.
But I don't give a shit for the guy that builds a super Walmart, doesn't know anything about growing and struggles with it. I actually laugh because I'm like, you're fucking dumb. You get what you deserve with this shit. You know what I mean? But there is, I'll say this, there is a dirty little secret of Colorado of the industry, which is, I'm not 1,000% sure this is factual at the moment, but at any given point in time out here, 50% of our licenses were in a state of transfer exchange.
Right, and that was explained to me a little bit, kind of like that racket of that, so how they do that.
Basically, what it says to me is people don't really go out of business as much as fail and then sell to the next sucker. And we've talked about this on the show before because I'm a seed producer and I sell seeds to people. So as soon as they start their business, they call me and I'm like, I've been to this warehouse 5 times, you know, and
Who are you?
Welcome back. Oh, you're on their license now? You bought it? It's like, so there's this constant state of like next sucker up, you know what I mean? But there's also these veterans that have been here for 20 years and we're just sitting back, like kind of feeding you the pickaxes and the shovels, not giving you our best cuts. We're just giving you the shit you need to get your start going. You know what I mean? And like, there's a couple levels to this shit. You know what I mean? And
I agree. Well, I find the whole Colorado demographic and the fact that you're so many years ahead of everybody, and most people that I encounter here moved here because they wanted to be here either for the boots on the ground beginning of cannabis or the sun.
Right. Just the protection. I feel like a lot of people came here to grow weed without fear because you could grow 6-12 plants and, you know, without fear. Or you get initially you can get a pot card and come here and get like 100, 200, 300 plants and just, you didn't go to jail when you got caught here. But if you were in Nebraska or Iowa or, you know, you're fucked. So it was like, come here. Almost
like the consumer of Colorado is like a well self-educated cannabis consumer. There's 5 million people in Colorado. There's 10 million people in Michigan. You guys sold 20 million, 25 million in topical last year. Michigan sold 5 million.
Interesting.
That's educated people that are looking for alternative lifestyle, medicinal. And that's not happening in Michigan. You're not meeting a bunch of people that moved to Michigan because they like it there and they like being in clouds for 9 months of the year. Yes, some people grew there because they were moved there because they wanted to grow, of course, and they lived in Ohio.
Right.
But you guys just have a different level of people here that are consumers.
I would say that we have a very well-educated consumer base.
They know their strains, but which I want to talk about next.
I say, but they don't necessarily shop at the dispensaries and everything else. Like that's there. There's a whole homegrown circuit. And
yeah,
like
before we talk about strange.
Yeah.
How's the UP?
Did you say strange?
Yeah.
Strange. He said strange.
I thought he said strains.
You're talking about females in the Upper Peninsula?
No, I thought you said speaking of strange. My bad. How is that? Because I've never heard of anything really coming out of the Upper Peninsula. How is it? Is it a completely different world from the rest of Michigan?
Okay, so I have some good friends up there doing some really great cannabis things that are still in the process, and I feel really bad that I can't think of their name right now, but I'm going on like 4 hours sleep the last 2 nights while I've been here. So yeah, I fucked that one up. But you know, borders Wisconsin, which is draconian in their cannabis view, so they're gonna crush it.
Yeah, everything near a state line of a strict state, of a state that's not playing around.
And then that ends one day.
Yeah.
And so your question, the Upper Peninsula is just like Oregon, the forests of Oregon, but 1/10 the size.
Okay.
Interesting.
The flies are as big as the trees. You better time your visit. You're on the largest natural body of water in the world, and it's surreal. You can't see across it, and it's a lake. You know, and oceans are salty and wavy, and you're standing at this thing, and it's different.
They have size limits on the boats that you can take on that lake too.
You can't. There's all kinds of crazy shit. You know, it's like be smart ocean. About it.
Yeah, I never been on that. Strange.
So is it like completely, like almost isolated from the rest of the state? Because I know it's like
You got to take a long ass bridge. that was crazy they ever built it. Yeah, it's a different atmosphere. There's nothing going on up there.
That's why I'm asking, because I'm like, it seems like most of the stuff happens Detroit and stuff.
So, like, as far as Michigan, hope people don't hate me for this, but there's a lot of parts in it you don't really necessarily want to live in where there's not a lot of jobs. And you're going to go grow cannabis up in a community that has a meth problem?
Right.
Are you just going to pay a lot of people to ship your weed to Ann Arbor or something? I don't know. I mean...
Yeah, there's safety in numbers, too.
It's a great place to retire if you want to camp for a living. You know, but no, don't go there.
I don't know nothing about up there. That's why I asked you.
West Michigan, Grand Rapids, Ann Arbor, Traverse City, Petoskey. That's amazing. The whole west side of the state from about, you know, Grand Haven up is special. Nobody wants to move to the east side of the state.
I've been to Holland. It's pretty cool.
Holland is extremely anti-cannabis. You know, they have the highest venereal disease rate in teenagers in the country and the most numbers of churches per capita.
That's the way that works.
Something's wrong. Yeah,
that's the way that works.
Sounds perfect.
Let's talk strange.
Let's talk strange.
So what, I guess I got to start here, is Gorilla Glue used to be like Michigan's, I should put on your state fucking flag, man. Like, I don't know why it became like the biggest fucking deal out there in the world, but now what is the biggest deal in the world out there?
Well, first the Gorilla Glue, I think we had the real cut.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people got it.
Yeah.
And you know, just talking about old strains like Gorilla Glue, Death Star... Just those two friends, to me, are the great strains to smoke all day for weeks.
We're not calling Gorilla Glue old now, are we?
It's past its prime. Nobody gives a shit.
I think we old? Might.
It's hella old. I mean, it's barely fucking 8 years old.
It's hella old.
Like, doesn't commercially?
Have, it was just so smoked. It's like, I don't know.
I can't help you, bro. Doesn't have gelato in it.
Okay, that's all that moves. Yeah, that's all.
I mean, let's be honest. Do you guys, like, breed for THC to present to retail?
No, but
growers?
It's an interesting market out here.
Before I was even making seed, like in metric and stuff,
yeah,
I used to look at potent strains and try to pair potency on potency to make my super potent shit. You know what I mean? This is like well before we had benefit of labs and everything else,
exactly.
But I would make strains based like I'm cooking, so I would pair terps, but then I would also pair potencies, and I was always in my mind, since we had Bruce Banner, Strongest Strain, and Earth and shit, I was I got to keep making super potent shit and remain Strongest Strain kind of guy. And right. We're getting those kind of clientele that are coming in and be like, I have, you know, I need really high THC back then. And so I'm like, all right, so I try to keep it up. But as of now, to answer your question, nah, I don't really give a fuck.
Is that how the market first sold cannabis, though? Was it like
THC?
Straight bought it on THC? Well, that's what's going on in
that's
Michigan.
That's what's going on
that's
everywhere.
That's a thing now, it seems
all
like.
Right. So
now,
all the labs here, not here, in Michigan, and especially one that starts with a V like Victor, will present their sales pitch to you that your plants will test higher for THC. Like, I'm seeing plants that are 41% THC.
Yeah, it's insane. Bro. In California, like for Emerald Cup and stuff like that, they're showing like sun-grown cannabinoids showing up at like 45, 46. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
You guys saw my Bruce Banner at 51%, right?
No one's beat 51.
That's just fucking, it was a meme that now has made its way into like almost reality, questionably real. It was like,
people are
going to
start believing.
Fuck?
Now, hang on. There is a strain on BC Bud Depot.
Oh, God, don't even start. But no,
it's supposed to be 100%.
I do, to your point, though, like, the way it works out here is, in my experience, without really naming anybody, you can send your sample off to five different labs, and you get five different results, but it's pretty well known amongst us who send off testing all the time. These guys are a few points higher. These guys you know what I mean? These guys are fucking... Like
little
low all the time. These guys are the most scientific lab that we have. If you really want to get the nitty gritty, you go here.
Well, you want the cheater, so your numbers are higher on the label.
But these labs, I feel like,
how do you compete?
That when they run into harder times, they just become a little bit nicer sometimes. But I'm not going to say that they're sitting there manipulating their numbers. I don't know enough about these labs to be like some guy's literally on a laptop being like, delete, 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 make it 29.
Sure, I don't think that's happening.
But they're going in and saying,
I think it's the standard,
like,
is changing.
Yeah,
I agree.
The way they calibrate the machines allows for a variance. So it's like they can sort of loosen those machines up like a slot machine, make it a little looser.
And what sucks is there's a plus or minus 15.
Well, they're understanding now that moisture content
is everything,
controls how it's going to test on THC.
Yeah.
Yep. Which we were required to test for our moisture content. They didn't for years.
Well, hopefully Michigan will move to that.
I think we have like a 7-panel test right now. It's fucking pretty extensive.
I want to talk about that, but
one just quick thing. Do you feel like the maturation of the cannabis buyer in this market has made it so THC is still the most important or not now? Are they going for flavors and terp profiles and starting to realize you can get high off of 12% White Widow?
That is changing slowly, where it's like the market is slowly being educated to show that you shouldn't buy weed off of THC percentage. People don't go into liquor stores asking for Everclear. Don't go into a dispensary asking for the highest THC.
They don't think of it that way for some reason.
Right. It's unfortunate, but like that strongest stuff isn't the most enjoyable.
Right.
It tastes horrible.
Right.
But what's going on now, it just seems like most people are breeding for stuff that's high in terp, stuff that washes over 8%, stuff like that. It's like, so right now, I don't know if you see what I got going on. It's like, THC isn't my priority. I'm just looking for stuff that washes because that's what majority of the market is looking for. Yeah, it's like, I don't care what it tests. Like, I don't care what it looks like, but how much does it wash? That's most people's question.
Yeah. But
those are the heady boys that are fucking
Here's the thing. I care, though, because when I get out to sell this product to these shops, I'm running into it all the time.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, bro, even with the Skittles, we only sold Skittles to 3 or 4 shops, and I love this shit. I have a fucking quarter pound on me at all times.
That's an anomaly. That's an anomaly.
But I'll walk in there with like 19%, 17%, whatever, and people look at it like, there's no fucking way I'm putting this boofy-ass looking weed that's testing 17 to 19% on my fucking premium shelf.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just like, you don't get it, dude. It's
you should
like
be putting lemon G out there,
that's
too.
That's what I'm saying. It's an anomaly because strains like Skittles, I mean, we all know it does not test high, but it wins every competition it's entered in. The terp profile is what makes it sell, but stuff like Gary Payton, like, doesn't test high, but people buy it off of the name.
Well, I'd say the new craze, in my opinion, or new phase, in my opinion, is salt-based newts, which has been a thing for quite a while. But salt-based newts and all these commercial facilities are producing extra resinous golf ball nuggets that have purple and pink hues to them because they got some sort of Skittles, gelato, or runts, or whatever, you know what I mean? Something in them. But with... thanks for the follow. Fucking super early.
Right.
But yeah, that, like, we're seeing that over and over again where it's like, as long as you can reproduce this, you're going to get top dollar. But tests from 25 to 30, even better. And it's like, it's all visual now, especially after the pandemic or COVID, because people couldn't
get their hands on it.
Smell, touch, whatever. Yeah, right. So they're just looking at a jar from 6 feet away, and it's like, that shit is covered in trikes, and it's purplish and pink, and it looks nice. Like, let me fuck with that. And that's what's hot right now.
Started a little before that. Punch was what caused that purple punch.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like that was the downfall of... That's what started Instagram weed, I'd say. That, now you got Oreos, and oh, God. Like, if it looks good, it sells. It doesn't have to test high. It doesn't have to smell great. It just has to look good on Instagram for it to sell.
That's what's frustrating me. I think I was telling you the other day, but I was like, man, I just wish people knew there was a difference between the weed that looks good and weed that tastes good.
But mm-hmm.
Because I have some fucking great tasting weed sometimes that don't look good for shit.
I agree.
But it's like it makes this all of a sudden not viably good weed in the market. It's like that's bullshit.
It's a generation gap, I feel. It's like there's a new generation of kids that came in, don't know anything about weed. They only know based off of what they see around them and hear. So they're the ones that only want femmes. They're the ones that only want stuff that's purple. They're the ones that only want high THC. So it's like it's a different market you got to appeal to now. It's not like the people back then that started in the medical side of the market where they were the heady kind of sewers, they knew what's up, versus all these people that are just getting into it now because all the soccer moms are getting into it because it's trendy, all that stuff. It's
so
completely different.
I talked to Kate, Cannabis Kate, at the Seed Cellar with a C in Jackson, Michigan a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm always talking to her like, what's selling? And she's like, first thing she always says, do you have femmes?
Oh yeah.
Do you have autoflower?
Oh yeah.
Unfortunately.
Nobody's a pheno hunter anymore.
Nope.
And now they're...
It doesn't help that metric won't really allow it to. Like
Michigan, do whatever you want. I mean, Denver, I mean, it's hard to get a clone into a place unless you
it's work a metric.
Around it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's got to be part that... I'm surprised you guys haven't figured that out yet. That's what lobbyists should be doing
that's
in this state.
No comment. I can't speak to
him. That's
everyone's
much...
figured it out, but no comment.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I get
but
it.
But yeah, basically...
Fine with me, I get it.
Michigan's definitely, well, it just seems it's like the metric is different across the board.
I think Michigan is the epitome of the wild, wild cannabis right now. I mean, Oklahoma's got metric now, so maybe we won't get so much Oklahoma product in our state.
They had metric at one point and then fought to not have it, and now they have it again?
Yeah, they sued over it being a monopoly, and they're 100% correct.
Oh, it totally is. It violates antitrust all day long. Antitrust, what, if you have more than 60% of the business of anything? They have 100% of every state. You fucking kidding me?
What is it, $500, you get a 100-acre farm and just grow whatever you want, and you can get your own license. They don't even know where what you grew or where you delivered it. I mean...
Right. You want to talk about Wild West, it was Oklahoma. Yeah. I think they finally starting to put a fucking muzzle on that, but like... You want to talk about, you could buy a trailer in a field and go for it, dude. Well,
yeah, the cartel went legal over there.
Yeah, it's right next to Texas.
Let's talk about, we're getting towards the end here. We did about 35, we're good. But let's talk about Scapegoat or anything new you have coming up. I'm sure people are interested. What's coming up new for you?
I'll tell you an interesting story. You know, it's like I like to do pheno hunts to release seeds that
I'm
proud of and run them 3 times. Well, guess what? I was like in the process of a 400 seed hunt, and as we're sitting here without getting into it all, what's going on in Michigan, it was really bad timing to do a pheno hunt right now to find new strains, because I don't have a pound of every pheno, and I don't really even like half of them. Maybe I don't like any of them because I'm a snob. Maybe I found one out of 400.
Yep.
But what am I supposed to do now? So I'm making seeds, right? Who's gonna buy that? And how much? What am I gonna do with all this pheno hunting material I have?
I run into all the time. Dude.
So extracts dropped 70-75% while I was doing this pheno hunt. So, all you people out there that like to buy weed for $60 at stores, it's all gonna create. Nobody's gonna be hunting for phenos anymore.
Yeah.
Everything's gonna bottleneck. You're gonna start finding seeds in your buds because it's all gonna be hermaphrodited. Back crosses to sisters to mothers to aunts.
Everybody's crossing gelato to gelato. You need to go backwards to go forwards.
So that's what I'm doing. I'm going backwards.
Yeah.
I'm popping seeds I made 9 years ago that people won't leave me alone about. I'm going to make a fem line this fall. That's
what they want.
I've got a 95 greenhouse white widow that's not Sharon that's phenomenal.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, it tests.
The Sharon?
It's not Sharon.
Oh, not Sharon. Oh.
I'm not Sharon. So it's not Sharon, but I'm, you know, sure it's 15% THC on a good day.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know. But
sounds good to me.
I think.
Put it through some of the labs I know. I can bump that fucker up to 40 for you.
I'm shooting for 41. But, black cherry cheesecake, rabbit hole. I'm not going to tell everything I did, but I'm going to drop a bunch of films.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe some auto flowers, but we'll see.
I would encourage you to do a little auto, dip your toe into that water. I did a little collaboration with my homie Daz, I was just kind of stunned how amazing that kind of went. It was a small little thing we did, but I was just
That's why I'm in it.
Yeah.
To do other things, and I have 16 different males right now, okay?
Uh-huh. Yeah, trust me, I get it.
And it's I did this post the other day, and I said, should people expect? Do you expect 50% herms if you're buying extract strains now? And I wasn't trying to hurt anybody's feelings. And I said, this is not the Bash Breeders. Don't mention anybody's names. But I want to know how everybody feels. 275 comments in 2 hours, and I think 2 breeders commented. So guys, look yourself in the mirror. That's all I'm saying.
Right? I agree with that.
Or test it before you release it.
But nobody tests
anybody. I know. Now it's just a hype game to put out the hypest strain fastest. The market
created that, though. They don't give you time
to test it's a anything. Race.
I said that.
Everything turned into a race.
How soon can you get RS-11 and cross it to name the other strain that's dropped after that?
Exactly.
S-Fin Lines.
RS-11 Zope, it's already out, I'm pretty sure.
You know, and it's again, I'm not going to mention any names. But I just saw this drop that happened was from a couple people that make seeds, right? And it was a fem line, and they obviously didn't test it. And that person's not online all of a sudden. I follow people who pheno hunt. I don't even care if you don't hunt my seeds. I'm looking for people that are doing that. And I see these comments, and this guy's like, so many of you people have asked me what just hermed, and he named them, and I was just like, glad I wasn't on that list.
Yeah, I mean,
how many times are you going to let your whole room herm out when you're looking for that extract plant and you spent $1,000 on these seeds? What are you going to do now?
No, you're fucked.
Because when you're okay, you're going to finish your plants that are hermaphrodite. Yeah, that's going to be a great extract.
It seems to be acceptable, though. I'm not saying I agree with it.
I know
it is. That's the whole trend where it's just like all these hype fucking fem crosses. Mm-hmm. They get released real quick, and then people are like, I got a herm, but it's cool. I found a keeper.
I found one out of
as long
nine.
As they find their keeper, all is golden with everything else. Right. And that's because of the race model that we're in as opposed to the quality work model that we used to have. Right. Back. I hate to say it, the Dutch did it better in a sense of they actually bred like lines. And Americans started that way, but then it became, there was a meme the other day someone put out, and it was like breeders in 2010 or 11. It was a guy surfing a wave. And then it was like breeders in 2020, and it was like a million people on this wave riding this wave and shit. And it was like, it's sort of the same thing. That's why it created the race. Sure. And I'm open for a million people that want to become breeders, go for it. But it's like the race is still there because of the market is, you talk about that free market that I like. Well, you better be fucking good at it. And you better be able to know the work, do the work, and stand by it because, I don't know, there is flash in the pan guys that just come and go, though.
Well, Jason, I kind of feel like a lot of people that are making seeds right now feel like their time is limited and that this whole thing is ending for all of us because you don't have to be a magician to read about what's happening. And, you know, we're just making seeds that we love with our passion. We're not in a $5 million lab, and we don't already have all this stuff triploided out, and we don't have the gene that removes powdery mildew from our line, and we don't have the strain that's 59% THC regardless of the humidity, because you know they're sitting on all that.
Well, they're working to develop all of this shit to kind of make that super fucking
And whatever. They're a lot closer than any of us are.
Sure, but I do wonder. I don't know. I always say, I think that there will always be a place for people that have passion for creating unique cannabis strains.
Yeah,
you know what
and
I mean?
I think
it's like cooking, where it's like, okay,
it is.
They're going to make some perfect recipe.
Right.
And people are going to be like, great, I'm tired of your perfect recipe. Even though G13 is a bullshit story, even if there was a government magical weed that they came out with and it's fucking perfect, you're going to get as tired of that as you would of Blue Dream, because you're going to have unique chefs all around you cooking up batches of fire.
You're right.
And you're like, I got to explore out the fucking government bullshit.
If it's not good, no one's going to want it. I guess if you're making something good and people want to do it to it like that, then...
The only nugget knowledge I want to give everybody that's just making hermaphrodite fem crosses and they've been doing it for the last 2 years is like, if you actually like take the time and you work some plants and you do some research on plants, you can cross those hermaphrodite plants to something that's... Like Bill says, it's going to take that out and leave everything of the expression in there, but you're not going to do the work.
Right.
Yeah, you're not even going to do it on the version two.
Well, they don't know how to do the work.
No, though. They're not interested in it.
That's knowledge. That's from trial and error, the same way all of us learned how to grow fire ash weed.
Yeah, and, you know...
Jason.
I got it.
We're done?
Okay. No, I said we got two or three more minutes to go, so I got to get live here in 5 minutes, but I want to give you the last word, the last shout out, everything else. But yeah, here's you sign us off because we pretty much got two or three minutes to go. Sorry to rush you. I wish we could go longer, but
I'm going to a concert tonight. Anyways,
we got schedules to maintain.
All I want
to
say is before you buy seeds from anywhere or anybody, Google that breeder and take 5 minutes of your life.
Heavily go beyond
and
page
find
one.
Find out if they're a piece of shit personally and if you want to support them.
Yeah.
And then buy whoever fucking seeds you want. I don't care.
Cool.
But you know, love the plant and support people like Jason and me here.
There you go. That's the best sign off I've ever heard.
Right?
And shout out to Ghostbuster Farms.
Yeah, shout out Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. I appreciate you coming in.
Thanks, everyone.
Yep. We're out of this bitch. Whoops. All right, we're back. I wasn't paying attention. All right, that's the show. Fucking A. We have 4 or 5 minutes left. You want to let me bring you on. You want to say anything about the grow-off that we have coming up?
Grow-off has been a large amount of stress for me so far. Got a bunch of clones ready, so there's not that many slots available if you're trying to enter. You got to be in Denver, Colorado this Saturday. Pick up your clones from Wolfpack in the federal location. They should all be $50 clone for the entry. And it's definitely going to be an interesting competition. I'd say hopefully everything comes out pretty good. Looking forward to seeing the results, but it's pretty much all I got to mention.
So, yeah, the commercial side is Friday, and then Saturday. Is there, like, times or dates, or do you have to sign up first before you even go down there? Or, like, how do you know anything about how the, like, public one's going to go down? Because it's at Wolfpack, right?
Yeah, so Wolfpack is going to get the clones on Friday night. They'll be available for the public on Saturday. So I'd say call Wolfpack, find out exactly what time they'll be available, because they might be still entering into the system. So I'd say probably go around, like, noon, just to make sure. I should be sending over about, like, 60 or something cuts or something like that, so there should be enough for the public.
There should be plenty for anybody who wants to get in. If you want to grow the same strains as, like, the industry pros in Colorado, you can come down and get a strain that we would pretty much never sell at this price anyway. The entry is only, like, $50. Go to thegrowoff.com for Colorado. Enter. You're going to get a Dark Horse clone. And then you won't know what the clone is until the end of the contest. And everyone growing it, the contest is based on, like, scientific test results.
Terps and THC.
Yeah, there's different championships, like THC champ and terp champ. And did they do a yield or not? I think they took that away.
No, yeah. They don't do that.
But, yeah, either way, it's a kind of a unique, cool contest. And it happens all over the United States right now. And this is the Colorado one. So if you want to do it and you're a home grower, you can literally test against, like, the big boys and see if you're better and put your money where your mouth is. And if you're a commercial facility, you want to win some awards, come on down and get your clone on Friday. I guess not come down, sign up on growoff.com, and then they'll direct you where to come on down, and you'll get your clone metriced over. But, yeah, that's it. Grow Off this weekend. We're back in the jam. I think I might come down there and try to cook a couple cheeseburgers if you plan on coming down. We're not really going to do tours or anything because there's too many people coming through, but we'll hang out in the parking lot for a little bit and chill. Hopefully the weather's nice. But, all right, you got anything before we go here?
No, just support us at the clone drop for the grow off. If anything, if you got any questions, comments, concerns, please let us know in person if possible. Definitely like to meet you and switch some information up and, you know, we'll exchange information, I should say, and get some business done.
Word. All right, everybody, we're out here. Enjoy the soulful sounds of Stone Ninja. We'll be back here at the same bat time, same bat channel, next week. Peace.
Little pale gay fish, come sit on my shoulder today. Little gay parrot fish, sit on my shoulder today and make me a fried shrimpy dish with some soy sauce, baby.
As the beat drops.
Super, super fried. Super fried egg roll. Triple fried fried rice. Triple fried rice, baby. 2-for-1 egg roll. Super triple fried rice. Triple fried rice, baby. Don't forget the soy sauce. Chan, chan, chan.
There's my gay fish song, dudes. What?